Dear fellow people of God who truly believe, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you believe it if I told you that somebody rode his bicycle 35 miles in 1 hour? That might not seem a whole lot, but let me put that into perspective. That means you would get on your bicycle and ride it from here to Menasha, or ride it south from here to West Bend in 1 hour's time. That actually happened by a guy by the name of Chris Boardman of Great Britain. He did that back in 1996, and it's still a world record to this day. Would you believe it if I told you that somebody rolled 47 straight strikes in bowling? 47. 12 straight strikes makes a 300 game. That's almost 4 300 games in a row. The odds of one 300 game is 12,000 to 1. This must be astronomical. But it was done by a guy by the name of Tommy Golic in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in 2010. Would you believe it if I told you that somebody died on a hunk of wood stuck in the ground and was put into a rock tomb and then rose on the third day and then he made it so that people who believed in him would live and never die? That happened too, by a guy by the name of Jesus, who lived part of his life in Nazareth in Galilee about 2,000 years ago. Those are all things that are incredible, almost inconceivable to our human minds, but we can't lump them all together in the same category because obviously two of them are great athletic feats that somebody has accomplished. But one of them is a miracle and a marvel and a mystery that goes beyond human understanding and comprehension entirely. But you believe it. So I guess we could say that you believe the inconceivable. You believe the wonderful things that God has given to you today, even though you can't see all those things that God has given you. And you also believe what God has prepared for you tomorrow. You who believe the inconceivable. You know, we human beings are really, to some degree, quite a bit skeptical. Sometimes we doubt things. Show me I'm from Missouri is a phrase that we could all use about ourselves from time to time, although there are exceptions to that. Sometimes somebody will tell us a nice juicy piece of gossip and we will just grab onto it as if it's the truth without ever checking to make sure that that really is the truth. And on the other hand, we can see a sign that says wet paint on a bench in the park, and then we'll have to go over and inspect it ourselves and touch it to make sure that it really is wet paint. And so we are incredible creatures. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, were very similar to that. You could tell them that there were 611 laws that they would have to keep beyond the Ten Commandments. And that's what the Talmud, their book of laws, said. 611 laws that they had to keep in order to get in good with God. And if they did that, then they had their right position with God. And they would believe that, and hook, line, and sinker, they would swallow that. But if you would tell them that God would send in His grace His Son into this world to die for their sins and give them the gift of eternal life for free, well, they spit that out like a sour lemon. You see, the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day had their own kind of wisdom. They knew that they were the bloodline descendants of Abraham. They knew that they had their Talmud, those 600 and some laws, and if they kept them close enough, well, then God was good with that, and they didn't want any talk about a savior from sin. Sin, what sin? That wasn't something they were even concerned about. And so they simply put out of their minds completely this idea that there was going to be some kind of a savior that they would need to save them from sin. Maybe from the Romans, if they would send somebody on a white horse and with armies, that would be great, but not a savior from sin. And so, because of this, this is what John wrote. The Messiah came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And so even though they had the Messiah in their midst, they rejected him. And why did they reject him? Paul tells us, because they were missing something from their hearts. And this is what they were missing from their hearts. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So what were they missing? Paul says they were missing the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They couldn't believe this cockamamie scheme about this Savior that came into this world. And the reason they couldn't believe it is because they had rejected the Spirit. The Spirit wasn't there. Oh, he was there working in them. The Holy Spirit was working through the Old Testament scriptures that they had heard and that they continued to hear. In fact, day in and day out, sometimes we wonder how it was that they couldn't believe, since Jesus was matched up very well with all the, perfectly, in fact, with all the messianic promises of the Old Testament. And yet they felt they knew better than all the prophets, because they had this figured out. So they put their human reason above the Word of God, and that shut the Holy Spirit out from their hearts. And the result, Paul tells us, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they couldn't stand to hear the truth about the Messiah, and so they killed the Messiah who was the truth. That was their answer. If I can't believe it, I get rid of it. If I can't believe it, we kill it. We reject it and throw it away. And yet you and I believe. How is it that you and I believe and they didn't believe? Our hearts are the same as theirs. It is purely by God's grace that you and I are here today believing the things that God tells us about the Messiah, about the forgiveness of our sins. It is purely by the work of the Holy Spirit through the means of grace, the Lord's Supper that we receive, the word that we hear, the wonderful miracle of baptism that has taken place in our lives, that you and I are followers of our Lord Jesus today. And so because of this, we no longer have to fight against God. We don't have to run away from God and think that he is against us. But rather, he is with us, and he has given us peace with God. And that has changed a lot of things about our lives. Very often, as we live in this world, it's like we're in this ship being tossed by the storms all around us. And yet as the storms beat against us and as we sail against the winds, we know that there is a peaceful harbor that is ours through Jesus, who is by our side, and through his word that you and I are blessed to use in our lives every day. Sometimes we think that this world is completely helter-skelter and wacky, and what is up is down, and what is right is wrong, and everything gets turned around, and the more we watch the news, the more we believe that. And yet, as we go to Jesus and his word, very patiently and lovingly, Jesus puts the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together so that we can start to see the whole bigger picture of things, and that he is the King of the universe, the King of glory, who is with us in our lives. We live in a world where often it's hatred and anger and vitriol that seems to drive things. And the Holy Spirit, who lives in our hearts and lives, helps us to understand and moves us towards a different way of living, a better way of living, where instead of being angry and filled with spite and hatred, we can unselfishly find ways to use our gifts and talents to unselfishly and selflessly serve other people with what God has given to us. And all this, once again, because the Holy Spirit has done the inconceivable. He has turned these stone cold, rock hard hearts of ours into pliable things that can be planted and fertilized and grown. And he has done this through his word. The beautiful message of the gospel has done this all. The author of the letter to the Hebrews once defined faith, this faith that the Holy Spirit gives us, this way. He says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. you really think about it, if you see something, you don't have to have faith to believe it. I'm sure when this Tommy Golic rolled 47 strikes in a row in bowling, people were there looking at it. It probably seemed crazy to them to see something like that happen, but at the same time, they couldn't deny that it happened because they were right there looking at it. And you and I have to believe it because it's been reported and verified by witnesses as well. But it's different when you're thinking about something that you haven't seen yet. Think of Noah. God told Noah to build this ark. So he goes out into his property and builds this ark. He's not like he's next to the ocean. Builds this huge thing. Noah didn't know that it was going to rain so much. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen. God just told him to do it, and so he's working away. Can you imagine the doubts and fears that Noah had as people come over, scratch their head, and wonder, what are you doing, Noah? This is insane. And yet he kept on doing it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in his heart, and he believed what God told him, even though he couldn't see what it was that God had said. So if Noah was crazy, that means you are too, and me as well. Well, you're not out in your backyard building an ark, but you're here at church, and you know for many, many people in this world, what you're doing is a total waste of time. They think that you've totally lost your mind for worshiping the Lord and believing what is yet to come. And that's why we're here, right? Because while we know the Lord is with us today, God has also said there is something yet to come. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We can't even begin to conceive the beauty and the glory of heaven. It's beyond our comprehension. And yet heaven for us is just as real as the walls in this building and as real as the houses and the trees and the fields that we drove by to get here today, except one big exception. In heaven, everything is infinitely better. There are no issues or problems. And all of this is because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection. And so we don't have to say, maybe someday I'll be in heaven, or if I go to heaven someday, or it's possible I'll go to heaven someday. You and I say with confidence, when I go to heaven. And on that day, it will be, your eyes will see, your ears will hear, your mind will conceive what God has prepared for you, because you'll be there. So, thank God for Jesus, who has given you that wonderful promise of the future. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, who has allowed you to believe the inconceivable. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.